from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And joining us now is Chip Williams Jr. here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Chip, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. Pleasure's all mine.
I was talking about it earlier. I fill in on 92.9 ESPN Memphis, so I follow a lot of the Memphis basketball accounts and college football accounts and all that stuff, so I kind of get to know some of y'all that do stuff down in Memphis. And I like your stuff. Watch some of the videos I've seen come across on social media and stuff. I kind of wanted to pick your brain about the Bucks, about this draft at this point. But before we start there, I am kind of interested in hearing what the latest is with the Grizzlies, because I feel like they are kind of at the center of all the trade rumors right now of if they're going up, if they're going down. Tell us what the latest with them is.
Yeah, fascinating. It's kind of an unusual position for the Grizzlies to be like the focal point of, you know, what's going on in the draft. And, you know, it seems like they've kind of got maybe the first two picks sorted out. It'll be the two French guys most likely. And then after that, all bets are off. I mean, there's been rumors of the Grizzlies, you know, moving all the way up to three to possibly select Donovan Clingan. You know, also 5-6 with Detroit and Charlotte. Maybe they would be available for trade-ups if Clingan makes it all the way there. So it's been very interesting just trying to parse through what's real and what's not, because, you know, ever since Zach Kleiman took over in Memphis, they have done a really good job of, for the most part, keeping things behind closed doors and not a lot of stuff leaks. So part of me thinks that this could be a little smokescreen-y and they're trying to, you know, angle their way for a different prospect that's not out there. But it also, they have an obvious need at center. And so Donovan Clingan makes a ton of sense. Or if they're unable to do that, Zach Edey at 9 also makes a lot of sense, which may be a little higher than some would think. But I get the sense that Edey is probably going to end up in the lottery this year. So, yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I think we're all kind of guessing and trying to figure out exactly what they're thinking right now.
How does Edey translate to an up and down game? I mean, being a Badger fan, I've watched Edey forever, so I don't see the transition necessarily.
No, it's a totally fair question, and if you asked me maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I probably would have told you that this guy's not worth taking before, you know, the late first round. But I think there are three things that really stick out to me when I tried to set aside my bias and just watch him, you know, kind of with an open mind. And number one, he's going to be excellent on the boards, right? Yep. He was an off-the-charts rebounder in college. He is probably the best screen setter that I've seen in the last 3 or 4 drafts. So he's going to be able to carve out space that way. And then number three is he doesn't get played off the floor, at least in college, from a conditioning and a foul perspective. He has outlier great conditioning. And that's, frankly, a pretty big concern with Clingan, as he just wasn't playing over 25 minutes very often. So just if he can just do those three things, and he's 7'5" when he puts his shoes on, that screams at worst he's an NBA role player to me. And then, you know, the defense, the passing, the more swing skills, that'll determine if he can be a starter or anything higher than that in the league. But for me, I'd buy him at least as a role-playing big at the next level.
You know, when we talk about the Bucks and we talk about mock drafts that are out there, the Athletic mock draft and the ESPN mock draft have the same dude going to the Bucks. Maybe it's coincidence or maybe somebody's talking. I would tend to lean towards somebody's talking possibly. But they both have the Bucks taking Kyle Filipowski from Duke. First of all, I hate Duke players, so that's my first problem. My second problem in all of this is, you know, if this is going to be the center of the future to eventually replace Brook Lopez at some point, this dude is not a shot blocker. He's not a rim protector of any sort. He's a great passer. That's fine. He can move his feet pretty good. If he's got to be stuck out on the wing trying to guard somebody, fine. I'll get down with that. But I'm not there. And we had Eric Namon earlier, who is the Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. And he brought up, you know, if he ends up being, let's say, Kelly Olynyk or something like that, that's pretty good for end of the first round. What do you take away when you watch Kyle Filipowski play?
Yeah, I actually ended up a little higher on Filipowski than I expected to be. I really buy the shot creation and the shot making with him at a real 6'11". I share some of your concerns of him. If you see him as a long-term five, I think the rim protection is concerning. Just a lot of the big man stuff, maybe he's not great at. But I think specifically for Milwaukee, like, you have Giannis, and so he kind of covers up some of those defensive deficiencies that Kyle would have. But like a real dribble pass shoot guy at 6'11", who plays his butt off all the time, I was impressed. Like, I thought the numbers are great, and I thought the film was really good too. So I think that'd be good value in the 20s if Filipowski is the pick.
Let's talk about the guy that I like and that a lot of Bucks fans like, who has some negative stuff floating out there around him, and that's Khalil Ware, the center out of Indiana. Now, one of the biggest negatives out there on him that I continue to read about is maybe he doesn't have the best motor. Maybe he doesn't play hard all the time, and that's kind of hurt his stance with a lot of teams. My stance is, man, you got Giannis. It's like having Kobe or Michael or whoever. Like, he's not going to let anybody slack and not play. You're just not going to be in the same locker room with that dude if that's who you think you're going to be. So I guess I don't worry about it as much. And he is a rim protector. He's shown the ability little by little to be a stretch where he can shoot the three a little bit. What do you take away when you see Ware? Because you have him ranked way lower than Filipowski.
I do, yeah, and I think it's a lot of those concerns of, like, I think theoretically Khalil Ware is exactly what you're looking for in a modern big, right? He's got size, he's got length, he moves well, there's a little bit of shot stuff there that you can probably build on, and maybe he stretches that out to be, you know, a guy you have to really pay attention to on the perimeter. But solid rebounder, good rim protector, but, like, there feels like there's something's not quite all there. And maybe it's the motor stuff. Maybe it's the processing stuff. I don't know. You know, one thing from my perspective that is unfortunate that teams don't, you know, they have that advantage over someone like me is they get to sit down and talk with these guys. They get to do all the background stuff, right? And if all that stuff checks out, if they go talk to Mike Woodson in Indiana and he says, you know, this is a guy who works his butt off and is constantly improving, then I think, like, he could be a guy that is really good. Like, a comparison that comes to mind is someone like a Miles.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Turner type player could be like a high end outcome for Khalil, but I've been burned by guys who have those questions in the past. And so I ended up with him a little bit lower, but roughly around the range where the Bucks would be picking. So if that's who they took there at their pick, then I have no problem with it. I think it's a perfectly fair swing And your point about Giannis and, his psychopath work ethic is very well taken because, he's not going to let Khalil Ware slack off at all, I would imagine.
No, I don't think it's going to happen either. Talking with Chip Williams, follow him on Twitter at Chip Williams Jr. He's got his big mock draft, NBA draft board up. He put up for the 2024 draft board. Explain to me the tiers because the top three players on your board, Holland, Shepherd, and Sarr, are tier two, and then it's tier three, then it's tier four. So there's no tier one. So what do these tiers mean?
Yeah, so tier one is typically reserved for me for like a Luka, a Zion, Wemby. I had Scoot Henderson as a tier one guy last year. I think that oftentimes this draft has been labeled as a weak draft. And in my opinion, what people mean by that is there is no consensus star guy that you feel like when you take him, he has a chance to be the best guy on a championship team. I agree with that. I don't think you're going to find that in this class. It's a really tough year if you're trying to find your franchise star. But I think there are a lot of guys who are going to be able to contribute at a high level in the NBA. So for me, a tier two guy is a guy who I could see making an all-star team, maybe as a second or third best guy on a title team. But isn't quite that generational, can't-miss type prospect. So I didn't have anybody graded on that this year. I think next year everyone's very familiar with Cooper Flagg. He already looks like he'll be a tier one guy for me. But, I couldn't get there with anybody this year as a tier one guy.
There are a couple guys you got ranked way lower than other people. One of them I like a lot, especially after the allegations were essentially found not true. Terrence Shannon Jr., the wing that from Illinois, you got him at 41. I'm seeing mock drafts with him at one. I'll tell you right now, Bucks have picked 33 from Portland. If he falls to them at 33 from Portland, I want Terrence Shannon. But why is he so low on your list?
Yeah, for number one, he is quite a bit older than his peers.
He's 24.
He's going to turn 24 before his rookie season. And that's the track record of guys who are drafted highly at that age is just not very good, to be honest with you. And you start looking at guys that he's older than in the NBA, and it's like, well, no wonder he was dominating college basketball. He's 5-6 years older than some of the guys he's playing against. But that tier I have him in, tier five, I actually feel pretty good about basically everyone in that tier being an NBA player. And so he's kind of bunched together. I know I have to rank him, somewhere, so he's at number 41. But anywhere from the late first into the second round, I'd be fine with Shannon because really good athlete, really good scorer, just like a profile that you project should be able to play a role in the NBA. But I just think that you have to look at what he did and view it through the lens of he is quite a bit older than most of his peers that he was playing against.
All right. Let's talk about the local kids here in Milwaukee, the Marquette kids. Let's start with you got him at 47 in tier six. Why is Kolick so far down? Is it simply athleticism that knocked him all the way down there, or what is it?
Yeah, athleticism, and I just prefer a couple of the older guards, like a Reese Beekman from Virginia or Jamal Shedd from Houston. Again, Kolick's got the thing where he's quite a bit older, too, and the age stuff is just it has a real track record of being a meaningful thing in the NBA. I'm not saying it's a guarantee that they just aren't going to improve very much or anything, right? You can find – there's one in Memphis, Desmond Bain. He was an older prospect with a short wingspan. That's why he fell to 30, and, he's been knocking on the door of making an all-star game the last couple of years. So it's not – there are examples of guys who are older and get into the league and produce at a high level. But, yeah, I think for Kolick, just not the best athlete. Like, could he turn out to be a TJ McConnell-type player? Yeah, I think that's entirely possible. But he's a guy that I would look to get in the second round, and I'd feel really good about that. I know, he's kind of been in there with Phoenix at 22. That would be a little high for me. But I would just preface, all of this with saying that I probably had more difficulty this year ranking guys than I ever have because I think so many of these guys are so close and there's not a ton of separation that it's just frankly been very difficult. I've tinkered with how I've ranked guys a lot and finally just had to put it down and say, okay, this is where I'm going to end up.
Also, Iguodaro, what is he at the next level? Who is he at the next level, the big out of Marquette? Because I loved him in college.
Yeah, awesome college player. A little undersized. I think if he was like a real 6'11", 7-footer, then I'd be pretty comfortable taking him in the first round. But I think he's around 6'9 or so. And so that he's going to struggle, I think, a little bit with some of the length that he's going to face in the NBA. But a really fun player. This Marquette team was a ton of fun. They actually, Cam Jones is a Memphis kid, so I've followed his career ever since high school and had a lot of fun watching them. So I think Oso's got a chance to really play a role in the NBA, but he, for me, he's a pretty firm second-round guy.
All right, I have one more for you. If you're the Bucks in your world, what are you doing at 23? What are you doing at 33?
So I actually really like the range that they're in. I think the draft is probably the strongest between like 20 and 35 or so. One guy that's consistently there for them in basically any mock draft you'll find that I just can't understand why he's there is Dayron Holmes out of Dayton. I think that, like, I know Bucks fans absolutely love Bobby Portis, and I think, like,
No. Yeah, they all chant Bobby, Bobby, but people have been trying to get that dude traded for 2 years. That is the
right?
Number one guy that Bucks fans right now want to see traded. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I'm sorry, man. But I do think Dayron Holmes can be a really good, like, impact player. Like, what you Turner-type player could be like a high-end outcome for Kal-El, but I've been burned by guys who have those questions in the past, and so I ended up with him a little bit lower, but roughly around the range where the Bucks would be picking. So if that's who they took there at their pick, then I have no problem with it. I think it's a perfectly fair swing, and your point about Giannis and his psychopath work ethic is very well taken, because he's not going to let Kal-El Ware slack off at all, I would imagine.
No, I don't think it's going to happen either. Talking with Chip Williams, follow him on Twitter at Chip Williams Jr. He's got his big mock draft, NBA draft board up. He put up for the 2024 draft board. Explain to me the tiers, because the top three players on your board, Holland, Shepherd, and Sarr, are tier two. And then it's tier three. Then it's tier four. So there's no tier one. So what do these tiers mean?
Yeah, so tier one is typically reserved for me for like a Luka, a Zion, Wemby. I had Scoot Henderson as a tier one guy last year. I think that oftentimes this draft has been labeled as a weak draft. And in my opinion, what people mean by that is there is no consensus star guy that you feel like when you take him, he has a chance to be the best guy on a championship team. I agree with that. I don't think you're going to find that in this class. It's a really tough year if you're trying to find your franchise star. But I think there are a lot of guys who are going to be able to contribute at a high level in the NBA. So for me, a tier two guy is a guy who I could see making an all-star team, maybe as a second or third best guy on a title team, but isn't quite that generational can't miss type prospects. I didn't have anybody graded on that this year. I think next year everyone's very familiar with Cooper Flagg. He already looks like he'll be a tier one guy for me. But I couldn't get there with anybody this year as a tier one guy.
There are a couple guys you got ranked way lower than other people. One of them I like a lot, especially after the allegations were essentially found not true. Taryn Shannon Jr., the wing that from Illinois, you got him at 41. I'm seeing mock drafts with him at one. I'll tell you right now, Bucks have picked 33 from Portland. If he falls to them at 33 from Portland, I want Taryn Shannon. But why is he so low on your list?
Yeah, for number one, he is quite a bit older than his peers.
He's 24.
He's going to turn 24 before his rookie season. And that's the track record of guys who are drafted highly at that age is just not very good, to be honest with you. And you start looking at guys that he's older than in the NBA, and it's like, well, no wonder he was dominating college basketball. He's 5-6 years older than some of the guys he's playing against. But that tier I have him in, tier five, I actually feel pretty good about basically everyone in that tier being an NBA player. And so he's kind of bunched together. I know I have to rank him, somewhere, so he's at number 41. But anywhere from the late first into the second round, I'd be fine with Shannon, because really good athlete, really good scorer, just like a profile that you project should be able to play a role in the NBA. But I just think that you have to look at what he did and view it through the lens of he is quite a bit older than most of his peers that he was playing against.
All right, let's talk about the local kids here in Milwaukee, the Marquette kids. Let's start with you got him at 47 in Tier 6. Why is Kolick so far down? Is it simply athleticism that knocked him all the way down there, or what is it?
Yeah, athleticism, and I just prefer a couple of the older guards, like a Reese Beekman from Virginia or Jamal Shedd from Houston. Again, Kolick's got the thing where he's quite a bit older, too, and the age stuff is just it has a real track record of being a meaningful thing in the NBA. I'm not saying it's a guarantee that they just aren't going to improve very much or anything, right? You can find – there's one in Memphis, Desmond Bain. He was an older prospect with a short wingspan. That's why he fell to 30, and, you know, he's been knocking on the door of making an All-Star game the last couple of years. So it's not – there are examples of guys who are older and get into the league and produce at a high level. But, yeah, I think for Kolick, just not the best athlete. Like, could he turn out to be a T.J. McConnell-type player? Yeah, I think that's entirely possible. But he's a guy that I would look to get in the second round, and I'd feel really good about that. I know, you know, he's kind of been in there with Phoenix at 22. That would be a little high for me. But I would just preface, you know, all of this with saying that I probably had more difficulty this year ranking guys than I ever have, because I think so many of these guys are so close and there's not a ton of separation that it's just frankly been very difficult. I've tinkered with how I've ranked guys a lot and finally just had to put it down and say, okay, this is where I'm going to end up.
Also, Iguodaro, what is he at the next level? Who is he at the next level, the big out of Marquette? Because I loved him in college.
Yeah, awesome college player. A little undersized. I think if he was like a real 6'11", 7-footer, then I'd be pretty comfortable taking him in the first round. But I think he's around 6'9 or so. And so that he's going to struggle, I think, a little bit with some of the length that he's going to face in the NBA. But a really fun player. This Marquette team was a ton of fun. They actually, Cam Jones is a Memphis kid, so I've followed his career ever since high school and had a lot of fun watching them. So I think Oso's got a chance to really play a role in the NBA, but he, for me, he's a pretty firm second-round guy.
All right, I have one more for you. If you're the Bucks in your world, what are you doing at 23? What are you doing at 33?
So I actually really like the range that they're in. I think the draft is probably the strongest between like 20 and 35 or so. One guy that's consistently there for them in basically any mock draft you'll find that I just can't understand why he's there is Dayron Holmes out of Dayton. I think that, like, I know Bucks fans absolutely love Bobby Portis, and I think, like,
Yeah, they all chant Bobby, but people have been trying to get that dude traded for 2 years. That is the
right
number one guy that Bucks fans right now want to see traded. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I'm sorry, man. But I do think Dayron Holmes can be a really good, like, impact player. Like, what you saw from him at Dayton is exactly what you want to see from a first-round NBA talent playing at that school. He dunked everything. He can dribble the ball. He can shoot. He's got the length to be a rim protector. Like, I buy him as a five in the NBA. So if he's there, I'd take him. And I'll give you one guy kind of early in the second round that I'm a little higher on than most, too, is Baylor Shireman out of Creighton. Guy, again, a little bit older, but rebounds like crazy, excellent shot maker, very smart decision maker with the ball, just kind of plays at his own pace, never gets sped up. I buy him as a role player and another guy who could space the floor for Giannis and Dame in Milwaukee.
Absolutely love it, man. You're really, really good, as I expected. Chip Williams, follow him on Twitter at Chip Williams Jr. And you can, he has his draft board pinned right there. You can tweet at him and go back and forth with him if you want on things that were said today on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Hey, man, appreciate you coming on, and probably reach out, maybe get you on next week and go over what they did in the draft.
Sounds great, man. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Chip Williams Jr. here on Wisconsin Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.